So just one housekeeping thing. Ray, don't jaywalk, okay? I want to clarify that one. We're going to have, Paul Lynn's going to preach in a minute. I just wanted to share one thing before that, and that's just to keep Friday the 8th of June available. On the 8th of June, we are doing everything we can to call together a bunch of churches from Red Deer to come to the former Lotus building, which doesn't have a good name yet. We call it Dream Center or call it whatever, but we're calling people to come together that night from 6 till 10 o'clock to worship and to pray and to agree that it's time that we as a Christian community have a way of presenting to people who have no hope that there's great hope.
Amen.
Amen? And that's really the key thing is that, you know, what sets us apart? I mean, there's lots of things that set us apart from the world. But I think the main thing is that we're out here saying, you know, there's hope. There, you don't need to be stuck. You don't need to be imprisoned to the drinking or to the crack or to the meth or to the fentanyl or whatever it is. There's a way out. I think that a lot of times the world doesn't know that or they don't proclaim that, or I think a lot of people don't believe that. But I really believe this. I really, truly believe that God's got a better way and that we don't need to be bound to these things anymore. But part of this vision is that we need to do this not just as our little group. This needs to come from the Church of Christ, that all the churches in Red Deer are a part of this. So we're doing everything we can to invite other churches to unite, you know, to be one. Let's be one. Let's get this message across that people can be set free. And so we're coming together. We're trying to get different worship bands from different churches. And probably in an hour's time, there'll be some singing and maybe just a short presentation and just trying to get a lot of people to come out to this thing. We're even thinking about putting it on Shine FM. So we just invite people to come and say, just let's get the whole Christian community. Isn't it time for that to happen? So pray about that. I mean, isn't it time that we stop building our own churches and our own kingdoms and that we started to stand together and said, this is something that we can do together. It's so important. It is so important. So we're busy trying to clean that place up, and I don't know if we're going to get it painted ahead of time or not, but if there's a few of you that are interested in just helping, because I think it might be good to just maybe serve coffee that night, or maybe we've got to pass out some flyers or try to get people's emails, addresses, you know, things like that so we can build. We need to build this army. We need to build this up. So if you're interested in that, just talk to me, because we think this is going to be a beginning of something great. This is, just to be clear, and we're not sure, again, what's going to happen, but this has got to happen from the church. It's got to happen from all the different churches. We lay down our own names. We lay down our own kingdoms. We just build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And part of this vision is that we recognize that, you know, this is not a quick fix. This is, we're going to be finding, you know, a Christ-centered, long-term treatment, a place for wellness, a place where people get shalom, a place where people get set free. This is not a quick fix. In the treatment center, I know I don't want to go too long here, but in Edmonton, the Dream Center, they came down a few weeks ago, and they were just so encouraging, and they were excited to see the building, and they were just praying for us there and casting out demons, and they were doing all kinds of things. They felt like we'd known them for a long, long time. But there, they have kind of a cool concept, and again, I don't know what's going to happen, so not clear. God will make it clear. But what they do is they allow women, it's strictly a women's facility, they allow women to be in their Dream Center with their children, which is really a cool idea because for a lot of women, they don't want to go to treatment because they know they're going to lose their kids. So here they have the option to go to the Dream Center, to bring their children, to live in a two- or a three-bedroom apartment that's provided, and they get clean. And they have incentive to get clean and to stay clean. So I think that's kind of cool. But like I said earlier, you know, it's not up to me, it's not up to any of us to say this is what's going to happen here. We just, at this point, we need to pray to God. And someday there'll be a board of people who represent the church. That board will make those decisions and say, here's where we believe that God is leading us. It's up to us to pray about that. Jesus said that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, move, and it will move, right? if we have the faith of a mustard seed. And there's another part in the scripture where it seems like he says you do have mustard seed faith. So I think the problem is not that we don't have the mustard seed. The problem is that we don't plant it. I think a lot of times we carry the seed around. Look at, I got the faith of a mustard seed, because it's a gift, right? Faith is a gift. God says here, I'm going to give you faith. So we go, hey, I've got mustard seed faith. But until we plant it, it's never going to do anything. And when we plant it, there's always a risk. I've had lots of people already say, this is never going to work. This is a bad idea. You know, the city will never allow it. You know what? My God is way bigger than that. He is way bigger than that. He is way bigger than that. And all he asks me to do is just keep planting. And there are times, I'll be honest with you, there are times I go, but God, if this doesn't work, there's going to be egg all over my face. And he goes, big deal. Who cares? Don't care about your face, and I don't care about the egg. All I care about is that you just be obedient. You just be obedient. You do what I ask you to do, and you will see amazing things. And then he says to me, you know, hasn't that happened in your life? Well, yes, Lord. As a matter of fact, there's been lots of things you've done in my life that have been super amazing and unusual and miraculous. And many, many times when you've just shown up and done so many things that everybody knows I could never pull off. Only God could pull off. And he says, that's exactly where I want to be in your life and in this Christian community. Where only I could do this, that's a good place to be. Only God can make this happen. Only God can turn the hearts of the counselors of this city in favor of this. Only God can make that happen. If we can do it, listen, if we can do this, it's not faith. It's just us doing everything we are able to do, right? Faith means you take the seed and you plant it and you go, okay, God, I'm going to stand back and watch you make it grow. And I encourage you to pray about that. Will you do that? Pauline, would you come forward? We're wanting to hear from you. I want to pray for you this morning. And also, we're going to remember a couple other people in particular who need our prayers today. So let's bow our heads. God, thank you that you encourage us today. We shout to the Lord because you're so good. We pray, God, for the June the 8th, this evening, that you will lay it on the hearts of literally hundreds of Christians to say to each other, it's time that we get together. It's time that we tell this world that we have hope through Jesus Christ. There is great hope. So we pray for that, God. We pray that you would have your way and that you will find us obedient. Thank you, Jesus. We pray today for Sonny, who's in the hospital and who had a mild heart attack a couple days ago, that you would heal him, that he would have better health, and that he would be able to get out soon, and that he'd know that he's loved and that you are near to him. I pray for Mal as she begins treatment. I think it's tomorrow for chemo, that this will be of great avail, that it would be powerful, that you would use it, Lord, to heal her, that you would preserve her life so that she can continue to be a wife and a mom mm-hmm. to her three young kids. Pray for Kevin, that you'll be with him too as he struggles with his brain tumor. And we ask you again to just show your mercy, God. Show your great mercy. And just touch him, Lord. Continue to reveal yourself to his family who don't know you, but they're getting to know you. Thank you that Alvin gets to meet often with him. We pray that, Lord, you will just continue to wrap your arms around those who are in real need. And, Lord, even today, there are people here right now that we're struggling. We're going through a hard time. We're hurting. We're disappointed by someone. Or it's just been a hard, difficult time. We just pray today that you will speak your words of encouragement and that your words of shalom and peace would reign in our hearts today. Be with our brother as he brings the word. I pray that it will be clear and we'll know when we leave today that God has spoken. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen.
To greet you in the name of Jesus again in this place as we prepare our heart to listen to the Word of God. And this morning I'd like to share with you a message which is, I personally believe, is seldom preached in the church because it is not a very popular topic. The topic that I'm going to share is about curses and blessings. Last Sunday, we were encouraged to say shalom to each other, because that is a part of blessing other people. Now let's see the other side of the Word of God. I mean, the opposite of that. In fact, if you read your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm not going to read that chapter today, you will come to understand better that God, in fact, has put us at a crossroad to choose either blessings or curses. You have a freedom of choice. But God has encouraged us to choose life. And by the word that I'm going to share today, we'll better understand what the heart of God is for each and every one of us. So I'd like you to turn to your Bible, if you have it with you today, just one verse from the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 23 and verse 5. This word, Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. 23, Deuteronomy. That's the last book of Moses. And verse 5. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 5. If you don't mind, let's read that in unison together. 1, 2, 3. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turn the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Talking about curses, this is something unfamiliar even to the student of the Bible. Despite the fact that when Jesus died on the cross for us and he became a curse for every believer, it is written in Galatians 3:13, he became a curse for every believer to redeem us from the curse of the law. Because we fail in every aspect of doing the law. So the curse should be upon us, but instead of falling upon us, God, through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, took it upon himself. Amen. So that's very foundational. All my curses, all my sicknesses have been put onto Jesus when he died on the cross instead of to me. I'm a free man. Amen. So you are. Nevertheless, this is the fact. We still need to deal with curses. That's the same thing like all my sicknesses have been put onto Jesus, onto his body when he died on the cross. You too have to deal with sickness in your Christian walk during your lifetime. Because not every single Christian is healed today. Not every single Christian is free from curse today. The curse is still among us, still with us. Curses still exist. Until one day, as written in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 3. That verse says, and there shall be no more curse.
I'm waiting for that day. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is the state of blessedness, where curse is reversed. Are you longing for the day when every single curse is reversed? We are getting nearer to that day. Because that will be actualized when the new Jerusalem comes down from God. You can read the book of Revelation concerning that. As I said right now, curses are still among us. And what Jesus accomplished on the cross was to give freedom to every believer to get out from under the curse. We have to understand this, because this is a very critical point. Positionally, we are free from every curse. But practically, we still have to deal with curses as part of our Christian walk. This is the same principle about fighting our enemies. Jesus has defeated our enemies when Jesus was hung on the cross. It is a fact that the enemy is already defeated. It's a fact. No doubt about it. But on a practical side of it, while you are still here on earth, you have to fight the enemy. You've got to understand this, ladies and gentlemen. So, the same principle is applicable to healing, to curses, and to fighting the enemy of our soul. Though by 39 Jesus' stripes all over his body, we were healed already, as written in 1 Peter 2:24. But not, as I said earlier, but not all Christians are healed today. They can be healed if by faith they reach out to receive what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. So you see, this is the same argument with curses also. Curses are generally obscure or even hidden from Christian thought. And this is sad, this is a malady. If I see other religions, I come from Indonesia, from Asia, other religions know curses so well. They even use curses against the people of God, against you. Look at what witchcraft, voodoo, tribal witch doctors, shaman, medicine men, they use curses to hurt us. If they can, they cannot, because you are covered by the blood of Jesus. So again, it is sad to say, largely Christians are ignorant of how to deal with curses, despite the fact that Jesus has enabled, has empowered us to do so. Isn't that sad? There are several things that I want you to consider, see in your mind if you can. Let me ask you some questions. Why are two nations, for example, or two groups of people always fight each other? Why do so many people in a certain country are so trodden and so poor and so low in their life? Is it just only the economic factor? How come some people get sick? And doctors say they don't know what is wrong. They've done the best, didn't they know how to diagnose and how to heal them. But they give up. And why some certain countries in the world today seem never stop having turmoil or revolutions, and they never have any time for peace? What's wrong? Is this just a political turmoil? There are certain races of people who live today on the globe. They have things in their culture or in their history that cause curses. You and I don't have to wait until you get up to heaven and ask God why it is all like that today. Today, here, and now, you can know, you can ask God so that you too can learn how to live a life full of blessings instead of life that is cursed and tormented. Do you know that God curses people? In fact, the first one to pronounce curse is God. And do you know that many times you yourself, out of ignorance, you yourself, you curse yourself without even knowing it? And do you know that many people curse you and they don't realize that they are doing something so bad? Do you know about professional curses? I come from Asia. I know a little bit about those people, those tribes that use curses to harm other people. If I say professional cursers, they get some money from people to do cursing against their enemies. Professional curses. And that's the definition of professional. Professional means you get your living, you get money from doing something. That's the definition. We don't want curses in our life. No. But remember, this good news. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 2, there is an analogy or kind of similitude. A sparrow or a bird, let me say, or a swallow. just like a sparrow or a darting swallow or a fluttering or keep flying, something like that in there. Just like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. There's no landing place, so to speak. Even if those professional curses try their best to curse you day and night, night and day, those curses will not land on you. But just remember this. This curse is just like a bird trying to find a place where to land. It's in the air. You better be aware of it, brothers and sisters. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. Now let me picture a vision in your mind today. Hopefully, by having this picture, we'll come to understand how to protect ourselves by this truth. There's a wall between mankind and evil. Evil spirits constantly, day and night, come and go through the wall. This is their territory. This is mankind's territory. There is a wall in between. But these evil spirits come and go through the wall because there are doors on the wall. Now, this is very critical. There are doors on the wall. And each door has a lock. Now, evil spirits, each of them has a key to let them through. Meaning, the keys are curses that give evil spirits legal ground. I'm talking about something maybe it sounds too big, but the term that I like to use is legal ground, legal opening, or legal authority to come in. Now, there are many kinds of these keys. Some of them are inherited or generational. From up there, great, great ancestors, maybe 10 steps or 10 hierarchies above, down to you, down to someone. And the second one is self-imposed curses. They are also a set of keys used by evil spirits. You know what I mean by self-imposed? You curse yourself. You say bad things to yourself, damaging your own self-image, your self-esteem. You don't bless yourself. You don't agree with the word of God concerning you. And the third one, related to behavior, it is like behavioral related curses. And this is very common. And maybe this is the big majority of the curses. When people disobey God and willfully violate His spiritual laws without having no intent of turning away from this willful, mischievous sin or actions within a reasonable period of time and continue to stay there, continue doing that, This is also a set of keys used by the enemies to bring or to place curses on somebody's life. In short, let me say, a curse cannot land on you unless it has a cause, a just cause. No, cannot land. So if we don't want evil spirits to have authority in our life, I have to make sure, we have to make sure, any curses on us have got to be broken. Maybe we'll take a few minutes at the end of the message today to do just that. But remember one more thing. I used to have some rats in my house. I did my best, every pile of garbage I threw out. But somehow, somewhere in the corner of the house, there was still a pile of garbage. I've caught some rats, I killed them, but still rats kept coming in. What's the problem? The problem is garbage is still there, hidden to my eyes. Same thing with this stuff that we are talking about. We may, by prayer, one time, break the power of curses, but if I keep garbage in my life, that will invite these rats, these curses, these enemies to keep coming into my heart. May God give us strength and will to do what He wants to do so that we are really free people. When God says something for me or for you to do something, and if I say, God, I don't feel like doing what you want me to do, what do you mean? The implication of the answer. What do you think? If you say the answer to God, that means you leave yourself vulnerable or open to the attack of the enemy, to curses, to sin, resulting in the curses falling on you. God will not let Satan cause you any harm. Let's remember this. God will not let the enemy cause you any harm unless we leave a legal opening. Now I keep coming to this word. Legal opening, legal authority, legal ground. Don't you know that our enemy or Satan, devil, he's a legalist. He's a legal maniac. A legalistic being. So if you leave a legal opening for him to hit you, he will surely, definitely use them. And it is illegal to curse you without a cause. It's illegal. There has been a law. It's illegal for a curse to fall on someone without a cause. God will smash the head of the enemy if he tries to do that on you. I'm sorry to say that many do not understand why curses land on them or why they get them. If I come to a point where I make sin so acceptable, and I say sorry to God without even repenting, just lip service, I say sorry to God, but I don't repent truly. Word of God says in Galatians 6:9, it is mocking God, right? It's mocking God. And that is also a way of opening a doorway to curses. Repentance means to turn away and change our mind, change our dispositions, change our mindset, and change our actions. Through repentance and confession of sin, allow God to protect us completely. Amen. And that's why here at this junction, it is very important to remember and to do 1 John 1:9. Pastor San said that earlier in the service today. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have done so many unrighteousness. But if we come to God, admit that he is just and faithful to give us forgiveness. His forgiveness is without limit. Dear church, this is not my intent, this is not my point today, that we in our walk should be curse-centered in our thinking. Because if you do, you miss seeing the blessings of God. I'm not a curse crusader. No. And God does not want it either. He wants us to enjoy a nice fellowship with him by not being too curse conscious. Because if you do, you do not permit God to have closeness with you. If you allow yourself to be so bogged down on this curse stuff. Don't be too obsessed. That's my point. But one thing I'd like to say is that curses must be replaced with blessings. Just like if someone exorcised evil spirit from someone, it is not just enough just that the evil spirit goes out or expelled. That person, the Bible says, look, the book of Mark, read that. That person should be filled with what? With the Holy Spirit, with the power and the life from God. If not, 7 times worse of the thing can befall that guy. Because the enemy says, oh, this place is so clean, I'll invite my whole team, my whole army to come and get back into this place again. So it is not just enough to be clean. The point is that clean place should be filled in with the power and the life and the truth from God. Amen. Yeah, let me read that again, that verse, Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. The Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turn curse into blessing. It is not just enough that the curse is absent, but that place, that vacuum, is filled with blessings for you because the Lord your God loves you. Yeah. That's wonderful. Very profound. Can you do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen? If you hear a preacher say that many of our problems could be the result of curses, would you do me a favor not to be offended, please? I know a talk like this is hard. A topic like this is hard, it's hard work. Well, we know, we quote the scripture, Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law. That's the truth, it's very true. Jesus himself has become a curse for us, for our sake. Amen, that is true. But the point that I have to emphasize today is that for everything that God has provided for us, for everything that Jesus has done on the cross for us, he made them available. Remember this. We have to claim it. Many people miss the blessings. It has been provided there by God. It is for them, free for the taking. But they never come to the Lord. They never claim that blessing. They never claim that freedom. They never claim the promise of God by faith. It is there already. It is finished. What is a curse, by the way? A curse starts with an utterance. With words. Starts something which is said out of the mouth. Just like the blessing, we were given an opportunity last Sunday when Pastor Stan spoke about the word shalom, that we have to pronounce it, we have to say it out. Same thing about curses too. It starts with a word or an oath or an expression or even a pronouncement. It is a pronouncement of evil. A pronouncement of calamity or something bad is invoked. A curse is even a prayer so that harms or injuries may come upon someone. That's a curse. A curse is something like a supernatural power for evil, not for good. It is like a supernatural power for evil, so the injury or something bad may befall on someone. Or maybe I should say, not only on people, but also on something. Because it can happen to properties, it can happen to vehicles, it can happen to material things, inanimate things. Lack of blessings, I should say personally, is to some extent the presence of a curse. Curses and blessings start with utterances. Why do I repeat this? Because I'd like to emphasize this fact that words are very powerful. God framed the word with what? With words. And he wanted light. When he wanted light, he did not build a power company. No. But by spoken words, he said, let there be light. And light was. Words are very powerful. Words of blessings, like we were taught last Sunday, they are very powerful. And these words of curses, even though they are powerful from the other world, you can counteract them. Because I believe the words of blessings are more powerful than curses. Words of blessings even last longer than the duration of curses too. Let's remember them. And let's not forget, because words have great authority, your negative words give the enemy, give Satan the authority to operate against you. That's why the enemy is able to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot do that without a legal opening. God acts upon our positive confessions. Don't forget that. He acts to bring life, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring recuperation into our life. Also, God does that through our positive words. So if I agree with his words, I confess his words by faith, what will happen? God makes his words true in my life. Amen. There are so many people, I notice, they say negative words on themselves when they are especially in trouble. Actually, they dump more curses on themselves by doing so. And this is what I call by self-imposed curses. Let me bring this to a close. I think I can never say enough about Satan himself. He cannot curse you. He can only use words spoken out to bring a curse. That is his vehicle. Satan cannot curse me, cannot curse you. But he keeps finding. He's roaming around. He keeps finding an entry point, a legal opening, if there is any. So if you keep saying to yourself that you are a failure, that you are a piece of rubbish, sorry for my language, that you are a man of no value, you are ugly, you will never amount to anything, you can't do anything good, etc., etc., the power of that word or of the utterance will work against you. And if your children are told over and over and over that they are stupid, they will spend the rest of their life being stupid, even though actually they are intelligent. Unless you do something about that, to break or to retract that curse. Because those evil words entrench into the subconscious mind and even get embedded into the personality, unless, again, as I said, by prayer of faith, you break them in Jesus' name. Last verse, and then I close. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. All of us know this verse. God speaking in that verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know what I mean by expected end? Expected end means God has planned something good, wonderful, full of blessing for your life, if you expect that in faith.
Amen.
So come to the Lord today. Cry out to him. Say by faith, I want to be free from every kind of single curse, even if I do it by myself, or by other people, or by my ignorance, or by my willful way, mischievous way. God is just and righteous. He'll forgive each one of you.
Amen.
God bless you all.
You say amen?
Amen?
James writes this. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. With the same mouth we curse each other and we bless God. We're reminded today that we believe. I was thinking about that, just the sparrows, you know, the flowers, or the not flowers, the birds that are flying around. Sometimes they land on us and they flutter. We've received some of this cursing. I want to end today just by coming before God today and just making it very clear that we no longer accept those curses. So maybe, Mark, if you want to come up, just that you are worthy of it all song. Let's do that in a moment. But I just want you to think as we end the service today about the curse that might be sitting on your shoulder, that little sparrow that's sitting on your shoulder, the thing that somebody said to you over and over again. Pastor Paulin gave a lot of examples of that. You'll never amount to anything. You are stupid. You are dumb. You are ugly. You'll never get married. You're a bad mom. You're a terrible dad. You know, all of those things are curses. All of those things are little things that float around and we allow them, because he's right. Satan can't curse you, but unless we allow it to happen, unless we accept it, we let it rest, we let it find a resting place on us. So I'm asking you that question this morning. What have you allowed a resting place in your life? What lie? Because really, all of these curses are lies, right? It's a lie. What curse? You know, I'm always going to be depressed. I'm never going to get free. Whenever we use those kind of terms, I'm never going to get free from addiction. It's not true. There's no hope for me. Or maybe someone said that to you over and over again. You're hopeless. There's never going to be any hope for you. That's a lie. That's a curse that even though you didn't want to believe it, you've believed it. It's stuck to you. It's sat on you and you've allowed it to sit there. And it isn't true. I'm never going to get off the streets. There's someone thinking that right now. I'm never going to have a place to live. It isn't true. That's a lie. I want you to think this morning about what is sticking to your heart right now. There's some curse. There's some lie. There's something that's not true. I'm never going to get out of debt. Never. It's always going to be a struggle. My marriage will never be good. It's always going to be this turmoil, this fighting, this awful. And if you have something that you're hearing in your spirit right now, and you go, yeah, I know what it is. I know what this pastor guy's saying. I know what it is that's been sticking to me. I know what the curse is. I know what the lie is. Maybe it's about love. You know, they don't love me. They don't really love me. Or he doesn't really love me. Or maybe God. God doesn't love me. He loves other people, but he doesn't really love me. If you know that there's something that resonates in your spirit right now, I'm just going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to ask God to replace that curse with a blessing. So would you do that right now? And like the pastor said, sometimes this is about repentance. It's just about coming clean with God. I'm just going to invite you to stand up and say, it's time that I don't believe this lie anymore. I'm not going to believe this lie anymore. Let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, we break the curse. In Jesus' name, we break what's been spoken over us that has been a lie. In Jesus' name, we replace the curse with a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. We repent that we believe this. We repent that we heard these words and we allowed them to absorb our hearts. We repent that we let this little sparrow sit on our shoulder, and it's been sitting on our shoulder for years. And we say, away with you. Go away. In Jesus' name. No more hopelessness. No more curse. No more lie. And we replace it with the blessing of God. We receive the shalom. Receive the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, because Jesus Christ took the curse. Every curse, every part of the curse, he took it upon himself and he put it to death. He died bearing that curse. And so we receive right now from you, God, the blessing. We receive what you think about us, not what the enemy wants us to believe. That you love us, that we are valuable, we're worth dying for, and that you have a great hope for each of us, in Jesus' name. And we just speak the peace of Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love, and that we can hold our heads up, that all of the things that were lies that have formed who we are, that you break that down, so that we can be an absolutely brand new, essentially creation, a new creature, a new creation in Christ. There's a new self. We celebrate that new self today. You agree with that? You say amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you just raise your hands and let's just sing it. You are worthy of it all. He is worthy. Just stand up if you're not standing. Worthy of it all. For from you are all things. From you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Let's sing it again. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Thank you, God. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, do it one more time. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night. Day and night. Night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense, let it rise up. Day and let it rise up. Let incense arise. Give it to Jesus. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. We just give it to you, God. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Just open up your hearts. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Just sing it one more time. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all. You deserve the glory. You say amen? Okay, one thing, one homework thing. As you leave today, one of the ways that we dispel the curses is that we speak the blessings. So you cannot leave today without doing this homework. You find somebody and you bless them. And maybe it's just, you say shalom. Maybe it's simple. Or maybe you take someone aside and you say, you know what, when you prayed for me that day, that was an amazing blessing. Or I really appreciate what you do at the kitchen or what you've been doing there. Or I just want to bless you today in the name of Jesus. And you know what, the more we speak that, the more we allow the blessings to pour out, we speak hope into each other. And the curses, you know, they fly away. So it's homework. You say, man, I see Jesus in you. And you're going to be a great dad. You have a beautiful daughter. And I see Jesus in your family. And I want to bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. For from you are all things.